Okay, good morning. We're back on the record.
Good morning.
One thing, Mr. Brogan had asked me before we left yesterday about briefing schedule. Just to remind the parties, the briefing schedule for the SEPA, briefs on SEPA appeal, the appellant's opening brief would be due, I announced this at the outset, July 24th, the response July 31st, and the reply August 6th. And I was also asked about briefing with respect to the MIMP. There normally is not briefing done with respect to that. Sometimes parties, if they really want to get involved, can send in suggested or proposed findings and conclusions. It happens in some cases and not in others. It's entirely voluntary, and I have to tell you, we don't use it that much.
I'm sorry, could you?
And so that's after the end of the hearing?
Yes.
That would be?
Yes. If you did that, I would want to see them by the 10th of August. Do you want me to start over?
I'm sorry, just repeat the date.
Okay. Appellant's opening brief, July 24th. Response brief, July 31st. Reply, August 6th. And if you send in proposed findings and conclusions, August 10th. All right. And so who is the next one?
I had a question about the document that was in front of me.
That is their public comment.
Okay. I note that attached to it is a letter from Ross Tillman, who was one of the witnesses.
Yes. I haven't looked at it.
Wasn't provided to us tonight.
It's a MIMP comment letter.
Oh, it's a MIMP comment letter.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't have a copy of that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
So this is a legal memorandum?
It is supposedly a public comment. I haven't read it.
From
it's a public comment on
the Snowman?
Huh?
A public comment letter from
Washington. So anything else preliminary we need to cover? Okay.
Madam Hearing Examiner, I leave town on July 24th and don't arrive back until August 4th. So if we could move the response.
I can't make it any later. I don't know what to tell you about that, Ms. Haynes, because I gave these dates at the pre-hearing conference. What you'll end up doing is not really responding, which is difficult. I can't really move it because I don't have a calendar. If I were to move it, given the rest of the schedule for the fall, you probably wouldn't get a decision until October.
Right. We'll figure out what we'll do in this and then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Examiner, if I could again return to Mr. Tillman's letter. Starting on page 2 of that letter, there's a critique of the EIS. With regard to transit, and
can I have a moment just to
get let's not deal with it right now because I haven't read it. I just saw it this morning, and I haven't even looked at what's in it. So let's deal with that perhaps after the morning break.
Okay. Thank you.
And Ms. Haynes, at the morning break, I'll also take a better look at the schedule to see if there's any wiggle room in there at all, and we'll talk about that as well after the break. Anything else preliminary before we get started? Okay, who is the appellant's next witness?
Good morning. This is Bill Zolzol, and the Scar Park Community Council would like to call Joy Jacobson.
Would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Sosa.
Ms. Jacobson, could you state your name and spelling your name and your address, please?
Joy Jacobson, Joy Jacobson, 318 16th Avenue.
And the address that you stated where you reside is in the proximity to Swedish Medical Center, Cherry Hill?
Approximately one block south.
Okay.
On 16th.
Okay. What is your profession?
I'm an architect.
And how long have you been an architect?
A long time. I graduated in 83. I don't think I was licensed officially till, I don't know, 90-something.
In your professional capacity, have you ever had a medical center as a client or worked on a medical center?
Yes.
And briefly, could you state?
I have worked on Virginia Mason, St. Joe's, Overlake. Those are the larger ones in the nearby vicinity. I've worked on many others, some out of state.
In your professional capacity, have you ever been employed by a major institution in Seattle developing a major institution master plan?
Yes, I was working for CLU during their most recent MIMP process.
And when you say most recent, approximately when was that? What
I worked at CLU from January 2008 till January 2013.
And what was your job generally at Seattle University?
My title was Director of Design and Construction in Facilities.
Were you a member of the Providence Swedish Hill, Swedish Cherry Hill Citizens Advisory Committee?
I was on the Standing Advisory Committee first and then rolled over into the Citizens Advisory Committee.
So when you say you're on the Standing Advisory Committee first, can you remember approximately what year you began serving on the Standing Advisory Committee, or CAC?
Yeah, it was in 2008, shortly after I started at CLU, because I previously had been on the CLU Standing Advisory Committee, and it was a conflict to work at CLU. So the Department of Neighborhoods asked me if I would go up to Swedish Cherry Hill.
Were you a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee that reviewed the current application for the Swedish Cherry Hill Major Institution Master Plan?
Yes, I was, until April of 2013.
And why did your service on that committee end in April of 2013?
Because I started working for the City of Seattle, and the Department of Neighborhoods determined that that could have been a conflict, so I stepped away.
Okay, and just to be clear, your statement today has nothing to do with your employment, current employment with the City of Seattle. What you're stating is your opinion.
Yes.
Thanks. And then just to be clear, were you a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee in March of 2013?
Yes.
I'd like to ask that this be marked as an exhibit.
Right, that's been marked as Exhibit A8.
I don't have copies for everyone, but it's quite specific. I'm going to hand you what's been marked as Exhibit A8. Are you familiar with that letter which is marked as Exhibit A8?
Yes, I am.
Could you describe it briefly?
It was the letter that evolved after the CAC met on March 28th to discuss the final scoping comments for the EIS that we were interested in having reviewed.
And does that letter request that the environmental impact statement analyze alternatives different from those submitted at that time by Swedish?
Yes, it does.
I'd like to direct your attention to page 2 of that letter. Under this section, the second bullet titled Land Use Analysis, Community Context and Cultural Resources, do you see that?
Yep.
And then if you go down to the three check marks below that bullet point, do you see where it starts a full discussion?
Yes.
Could you please read that paragraph for the record, please?
A full discussion of decentralization options that would accommodate the identified need on Swedish Providence system-wide basis, utilizing available development space at both Swedish's Cherry Hill and First Hill campuses, or more broadly, within the Swedish Providence system, and that might therefore result in the allocation of less square footage to the Cherry Hill campus and more to the First Hill campus, and B, the recapture of space occupied by non-Swedish Providence uses for direct SMC occupancy or to provide redevelopment opportunity.
Thank you. And you were a member of the committee and present during discussions leading up to this the drafting of this scoping comment letter, is that correct?
Yeah, the minutes from March 28th clearly reflect that I was there and made comments during that.
Okay. Why, in your opinion, was that particular request, which you just read, an important request?
We were very interested to see if the campus itself could use less growth to accommodate Swedish's needs, and specifically move uses that were not necessarily directly associated with the hospital to other locations, so that it could be a project more in scale with the neighborhood.
Thank you. I have no more questions.
Any other questions from other appellants? Right. Mr. Grogan or Gillespie?
No.
Ms. Kaler?
No questions.
Ms. Haynes?
No questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. That concludes my witnesses today. I have on my list Mr. Richter, possibly, but he's not here till tomorrow. So.
Right. All right. Exhibit A8 is admitted. And Ms. Newman, do you have any witnesses this morning?
No.
Ms. Cantwell?
Before we close my case, I do have a comment, but I'll wait.
Okay. Ms. Cantarelli?
Lindsay Admin is on her way. She should be here shortly, but I had mentioned yesterday that she wouldn't get here until...
Right. And do you have other witnesses after that?
Nicholas Richter is the only remaining witness at this time that I'm aware of.
All right. Mr. Myers, do you have any other witnesses?
Not that have been endorsed.
We're missing two appellants. Do you know anything about the other appellants' witnesses and what their schedules are?
I have not heard.
Mr. Patton and Ms. Galea, no?
Nicholas Richter is her sole
witness, right.
Yes.
Mr. Patton had a couple, I believe. Okay. And Ms. Newman, did you want to make a comment?
Sure. I just wanted to note that in my exhibit and witness list, I had identified or mentioned that I had reserved the right to call witnesses that were on other people's witness lists, and that included the applicant and Savy's witness list. And I have a couple questions that are for Mr. John Jack, so I expect they will call to respond. I just wanted to make sure or reserve the right to perhaps ask questions that go beyond the direct. During his time responding, just a few questions, and I'm not sure if it will be within direct. I don't know what he'll be testifying about.
I would prefer that you call him now and get those questions out of the way.
Okay.
So that you're sure you've got the answers to them.
Okay.
It resolves the problems that we'll run into when you start calling or when you start questioning him later. So if you're going to call him, do that now.
Okay. Call Mr. John Jeffs. Thank you.
You've already, you haven't been sworn. Yes, you have.
And do it?
Yes, he has.
Okay. And did I have your...
I don't think he has that much.
Yes, but he was testifying as part of whatever. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
I do.
All right.
And did I get your name correctly? I just realized I may have...
John Jex.
John Jex, okay. Good morning, Mr. Jex. I just have a few questions for you. I have questions about the Sky Bridge, and I wanted to know why the Sky Bridge is a two-level Sky Bridge instead of one level, what the purpose is for that.
The Sky Bridge proposal... responds to the intent of the institution to be able to plan for the flexible future needs of the facility. So the SkyBridge two-level proposal specifically relates to the medical need to separate flow within the medical center. And what I mean by flow, I mean the flow of the different types of traffic that move through the medical center functions. So the first being the public flow. Public is patients on their way to a clinical appointment or upon departure from an appointment, and the patient also includes the family members. Then there's the flow of medical staff and technicians who are on the campus that need to flow between departments. And then there's the flow of patients in the context of when a patient arrives for medical care and is admitted and begins the process of care. Once they're in the flow of care, they have different criteria placed upon them from a code perspective, and we have to deal with their flow through the medical center in different ways because they're in treatment. So they're under the care of the medical center, and issues related to infection control and privacy apply that don't apply to them when they're generally considered general public after they have been discharged from the medical institution. And then finally, there is the flow of medical supplies, which can include meals for patients, supplies used in the care of patients, and the removal of waste materials that are produced during the process of delivering care to patients. So medical centers typically are challenged to create efficient flows. As you imagine, medical centers have long duration of history, like this campus, started in 1910. There are a lot of circulation pathways present on the campus that were designed in eras when our attitudes about delivery of care are far different than today. So in looking at the future, one of the strategies I have for this campus is that we need the potential to separate flows in a better way than pushing everyone through the same hallway. So that was the reasoning behind our request for street vacations, so that we could co-locate and connect across the square footage of the campus in more efficient manners. Since we gave up the request for street vacations, we included the two-level sky bridge, because what that allows us to do from a future flexibility perspective is addressed what I've described as separation of these different flows. So when you have a sky bridge crossing a public right-of-way, you can imagine you generally you want to plan those points of transition across a right-of-way and connect them to vertical circulation, because you have various destinations that you're coming from and going to. So a sky bridge is a very high traffic integral link in a network of pathways. So if you come off an elevator bank on the east side of 16th and you go through a common sky bridge to then another elevator bank, you can kind of see the problem that's created with single level sky bridge or its two parallel sky bridges. You enter the sky bridges at the same point, you end up at a destination where the pathways intermix again. So to truly create separation of flow, which is the goal, having the sky bridges separated either by horizontal distance or vertical distance allows you future choices to manage those flows more effectively than you are if you push all the flow through the traditional one sky bridge. So it's I don't know, this is a long answer to your question, but it is a complicated issue of trying to anticipate future needs and the separation of flow.
Okay. How important is the sky bridge to the functioning of the hospital?
It is absolutely critical. It is a critical core necessity of meeting the medical center's need for inpatient hospital care. The reason I state that is that we have accommodated the beds on the main campus block between 16th and 18th. But as Jeff Hoffman described earlier, the hospital needs also include outpatient services. Those outpatient services fall under the category of diagnostic and testing. So diagnostic and testing is a growing need in medical centers, and for the future of this medical center, as an option, we need the ability to place outpatient services on the west side of the campus that may not fit, or from a desirability perspective, operationally fit or need to be on the center block. So it's very likely that patients who are admitted for care will receive those outpatient services in some capacity on the West Block. And that SkyBridge connection, providing that separation of flow back to the medical center, back to those vertical elevator cores, is a core criteria of operational planning for the future.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Any other questions from other appellants?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any questions on this side?
No, not at this time.
Thank you.
DPD, yes.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Has Swedish submitted a term permit application to SDOT for the SkyBridge as part of this application?
Not yet.
Could you explain what the timing and dependencies are of submitting that application?
The application for the actual SkyBridge would occur at a project level once the MIMP would be approved and a project would proceed. We would have better definition to the needs of the medical center and could state more specifically what the specific needs are for the SkyBridge and its location.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, since I guess there are no other appellant witnesses right now, let's go ahead and start over with the applicant slash Sabey slash department. What order are you proceeding in?
Well, so...
understanding that you will need to respond to the other witnesses as they come up on the appellant's side.
Thank you. Yes, we would like to reserve the right to respond. We were not anticipating starting at 9:30, so Mr. McCullough is actually going to handle our first three witnesses, and if you could hang on for a couple minutes, we'll go get him.
Okay.
He's being tracked down right now.
Okay. And no one else is prepared to start. You've got this worked out, so you're all right. We'll wait.
Ideally.
All right.
Proceed in that.
You wanted to review?
It sounds like he's elsewhere in the building.
There we go.
Wow.
Yes, and we also need to set up the projector.
Okay, should we take a 5-minute break?
Jack, were you in your DCPO?
Yes.
Do you need a 5-minute break?
That would be excellent.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.